morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. Yeah.
This is the second Sunday of Lent. We've been doing our Lenten study, primarily through the Gospel of Mark. But today we want to look on back into Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So could I have somebody read that for us?
The heading is, Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers, there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, Son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, Get up, take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, We have never seen anything like this.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, initial responses. Before we just kind of randomly pick this apart, let's see if we can do it some sort of a strategic matter. Anybody have any insights on like verses 1 through 4? Kind of setting up the whole situation. They're in Capernaum. They end up at this little house, so to speak. You had envisioned this house. People have gathered around. They've kind of heard some things, so they're gathered. And then these four men seem to be bringing this guy to him.
I think there's some men. There's some men that came bringing the paralyzed man. They show compassion. You know, they show faith and love along with the paralyzed man that, you know, longs to see Jesus, to be able to get that paralyzed man to Jesus. So I think there's some men that, you know, take him are almost as relevant as the paralyzed man.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
See that they got a lot of faith what they've heard about Jesus as far as the healings that he's been doing.
Oh, they want to come see the show.
Yeah.
Really? Is that what our faith is about?
Well, if I was one of the men and I'm walking up and I see a crowd outside and inside and you couldn't get to Jesus, I mean, then they didn't give up. They didn't wait outside for the crowd to...
Without a doubt, there's this kind of normal, natural impulse of ours. I mean, I was at Walmart here earlier in the week, this week, and saw this line back in the electronics area. I'm thinking, are all those people, is there something special going on I didn't know about? Well, it's Ticketmaster, so, you know, I got to think, well, you know, then there must be some show, some entertainment act, concert, whatever. I don't know what it was, but... It did catch my attention. I'm like, well, I wonder what all those people are doing, right? As I process, I guess I didn't realize Walmart sold for Ticketmaster, but then I saw the sign in front of the counter. I said, oh, that's what that is. But there is this kind of propensity on our that's somewhat normal to us to be curious about that. So it's not as if you're completely wrong there, Mark, but I mean, we think that our faith is more than just curiosity. Curiosity may get us in the door of the church sometimes.
Well, I think they had such faith that they was pushed through the crowd and they couldn't get through the crowd, so they went through the roof.
Well, okay, let's look at these. You know, it says some people, you know, we're talking about this crowd, and we have a guy carried by four men. Which one are you? Are we the curious crowd? Are we the good friends? Or are we the one on the mat?
I'm the one on the mat.
Okay, why would you say that? I mean, if you're carrying me on a mat, man, my only prayer right now is don't drop me. Particularly if you take me on the roof.
Yeah.
You're going to lower me down.
Because I can relate to the man on the mat. I mean, he's obviously, he's paralyzed. He needs healing. Others probably just ignored him walking by. And, you know, to have such friends or family, whoever these men are carrying them, shows me that there's people out there that, there's something about Jesus that is going to heal me, that's going to make
me... Well, we haven't even... Jesus seems to be the destination which they're traversing toward. But these four verses, I mean, they're not necessarily speaking about Jesus, per se. Right? We haven't quite got to him yet.
Well, the guy on the mat and the four men carrying the mat must have some faith that... where they're headed is going to lead to the, you know, the cure. They must have faith that this Jesus is somebody special.
Okay, so if you're on the mat, then maybe it takes, I guess the point I'm trying to get us to is, do we really see our spiritual formation, our spiritual discipleship, our spiritual development, whatever word you want to use, but our spiritual formation, is it done in isolation? Is it done just as an individual? Or is this really epitomized with Jesus' call? Because we just looked at earlier about his call of disciples and what have you. And then on the heels of this, he's going to call Levi, right? Matthew, right? This idea of community. Some people, four men, one paralytic. Do we really think we're just the man on the mat, and so I need, my spiritual formation is in isolation. It's just about me. Or am I, if I'm going to really find healing, am I kind of dependent on others in the community of faith to help bring me to the source of faith?
Well, was there more healing that took place than just the guy on the mat?
Well, personally, I would say yes, but we haven't quite got that far yet. Okay? So, Brian, the first thing I want you to recognize is in this time of Lent, right, and we start looking at we think that I need to do my personal reflection and contemplation. Yes, we do. All right? But at the same time, we need to recognize that what these some people and these four men represent is that our spiritual formation is not done in isolation. It's done in a setting of community. So when Jesus calls people to follow him, he's calling them to be part of this new community. Okay? Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Justin says yes, we can move on.
Thanks, Justin.
He says thanks, John. I don't know if I was just insulted on the air or not, but okay, verse 5 then. When Jesus saw their faith, okay, yes, he sees them trusting that the efforts that they're making on bringing this gentleman to them, all right, is moving. But their faith is in this community. I mean, he says he saw their faith. Not his faith. It's not in isolation. It's theirs. It's community-oriented. Right? I can imagine if Jesus is really kind of starting this new way of love, this revolution of love, the kingdom of God, it's kind of his message. And he's going around and he's trying to help people recognize this, participate in it, and so they can have the life that God intended them to have. He has to be touched when he sees it in action outside of himself, when he sees others actually doing it. I have to believe that, because wouldn't you think that's what he feels when he sees us doing it? All right. So, gentlemen, we have to stop and think about it. I mean, here at Lenawee County Mission, we have guys, and maybe we showed up here as the man on the mat. Well, guess what? You've been here long enough now. All right, then maybe you're the other four men. Maybe you're the some people. So that when another man shows up here on the mat, right? Because don't we pray for one another? Don't we feed one another? Don't we care for one another? Yeah, we do. We do laundry and all these other type of things for one another, for a community. Somehow or another, Jesus must be looking down, must be in our midst right here, smiling, saying, yeah, they're doing it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he be touched?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. All right. From like 5 through 9. We can do 5 through 10, I guess. Right? The whole challenge on forgiveness. What jumps out at you? I mean, some of you guys had some pretty good insights previous.
Well, they were saying that who can forgive but God alone, the teachers, and he, Jesus knows their thoughts, and he told them what's easier to say, you know, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk, and he let them know that. I kind of think he stepped on some toes when he said this, that I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And I think they was thinking he was saying he's God, you know, and so they were even blaspheming even more. They were getting angry some more, you know.
Yeah, during our Latin study, we did look at a lot of Mark as an overview, and we see that some first half of Mark's gospel, we see when Jesus is engaged in acts of healing and forgiveness and things of that nature, he tends to do it either in front of like a religious leader, leaders, the religious community, or the political, right, community, the Roman Empire representatives, things of that nature, which makes a statement in and of itself. Right? It's the great reversal. It's what Matthew would say. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, you've heard it said before, but I'm telling you." And what he's saying, you've heard before, is the law. What you've heard before is from God, but I'm going to tell you. I mean, you got to be thinking, who does this guy think he is? I mean, because what we have is from God. And so you're right to the extent that yes, the way was God forgave sins, which is how do you do that? What was the procedure? What was, you know, what was protocol at the time of Jesus on the forgiveness of sins?
Temple.
The temple institution. The minute you say you don't need the temple institution in order to have forgiveness,
there you go.
You're going to upset some people, particularly if in a sense, could you imagine, you know, if it was something like this? You don't need the church to get forgiveness. There might be some pastors, and in the Catholic tradition, maybe some priests and archbishops and things like that, who are going to be a little upset that my vocation is really on the line if I'm no longer needed.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what we have going on here. I mean, there are some religious authority figures from the establishment of Judaism present, and this is what he's threatening.
So Jesus provides a more direct and easier way to come to the Father.
They're interpreting, when he says, you know, your sins are forgiven, the reason that they're upset is they said, we have this protocol, we have this
system.
This right. System on what, on which God forgives sins. Through sacrifice, through cleansing, through these rituals and things. Jesus says, so what's easier? All right, you know, pick up your mat and walk, or your sins are forgiven. Really? So you're right. He's stepping on toes. But Mark, as we looked at earlier in the week, you know, Mark is intentional on a lot of those. When Jesus has these moments, Mark's showing that Jesus is standing in direct opposition, the great reversal, with a lot of the religious establishment as well as the government establishment. Right. Anything else jump out there? Those 5-6 verses there.
I think he's trying to provide some kind of physical evidence for people to validate who he is, or
I think we're attracted to the supernatural, the spectacular, you know, the event. You know, kind of what we said earlier. Really, our faith just, you know, our curiosity just draws us to see the show. Some people need the spectacular and the supernatural in order to have faith. It's hard to believe that God created us simply that the only way we come to faith is through the supernatural spectacular.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.